Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday night, so you may indeed know what that means. It is the newest episode of the Mark Order Podcast. As you can probably tell, this voice is not Kate's. It is the lovely, talented Ryan. But this week, since Kate is once again... since I'm controlling the music, I do the hard cut. Since this week, instead of Joe big-timing us, Kate is big-timing us. But Joe returned. How you doing, Joe?
All a part of the plan. You know, it's like hot tag in and out. You're the sucker who's here every week. So
it's just not right. It's not fair.
But no, I'm doing well. Thanks, Ryan. It was a good night in DC with wrestling on one side of the river, and on the other side of the river, my Georgetown Hoyas beat the local Creighton basketball team, so I was very happy for that. So all is well. How about you?
You're a Georgetown Hoyas fan?
I am. Georgetown Hoyas fan, living in Omaha, you know?
I don't get the teams you choose.
I don't like the teams you choose.
Yeah, but like mine are at least all chosen because that's just like who's by me.
Right. Creighton plays out there, so I was always happy when Georgetown beats the local team.
Okay, I mean, I don't know, you're just picked and choose, and I don't get it.
I like East Coast basketball. That's all it is.
So you chose Georgetown and the Knicks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're on the East Coast.
Well, Georgetown because my mother bought me a matching sweatshirt and sweatpants combo back when I was in first grade.
Okay. That's actually enough of an explanation.
Yep. So I felt I liked the colors. I liked the mascot. And since then, it stuck. And then New York, the Knicks were just because I liked them in the 90s. Because I liked the Bulls, but when they played the Knicks, I just liked I liked John Starks and the Grit and Anthony Mason and Oakley and all them. So.
Yeah, I can't forgive the Knicks, but I can accept Georgetown.
Well, I can forgive you for that. But how are you? What's your view?
Not much. Just, you know, living La Vida Loca. It's been a boring week just trying to get through the end of the year for work and all that and with holidays coming up. Good evening, Scott. Scott joining us in the chat. Just trying to get through the you know, I'm sure... I have an office job. That's what I'll say. And anyone who has an office job, actually, pretty much every job I think knows that end of the year is just brutal.
Yeah, I'm hoping my busy part of December is over with now. So,
right before the holiday, any more research centers or hospitals?
No more cancer center opening. No more other innovation inpatient care units opening. So. I think we're good for now. We have a community health clinic opening sometime, but that's months away. But I was watching Dynamite tonight, and I realized they were in DC in the Entertainment and Sports Arena where I last saw you for the first time.
Is that where they were? I missed where they. Yep.
So
I'm trying to phrase this properly. It was. Clearly more full than when we were there.
It would probably, yeah, but I think they had, you know, half that side would probably blacked off or taped off, like the hard side, the hard camera side.
Which it was when we were there.
For the most part.
I'm not insulting it. It's not like it felt different. Like it looked bigger on TV than when I sat there.
Right. And I think because of, especially with all their big setup stage with the monitors and everything, and the screens, It was so in your face. But then all of a sudden, you see him come out of the tunnels and then walk like five steps and then to the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. That I did notice that. I was like, wow, that's a, which I don't actually mind. It's a different feel sometimes. Like, I like the long tunnel occasionally, but most of the time, but occasionally a short one is a little bit of fun where you're like, and he's in the back already.
Long one's good, short one on occasion. Gotcha.
Don't you dare. So, okay. I didn't realize that's where they were. Yeah. Have you been following the I don't want to say wrestling. This week wasn't really wrestling drama, but a continue. Were you here? Yeah, you were here when we talked about Ricky Starks being pulled from GCW, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I'm a little bit. And then.
So, are you. So now, of course. And I'm just making sure, sorry, my computer froze for a second. I was making sure I could fix it. All right. So everyone thought, okay, their relationship's dead. Then there was the weird Willie Mack story where GCW accused AEW pulling Willie Mack. But then when AEW was like, we didn't tell him he couldn't work for you. And now Jericho shows up at GCW to attack with Cardona and Effie. Now, Cardona is fighting Jericho or wrestling Jericho at the ROH pay-per-view. I'm two thoughts about this. And obviously, my thoughts are just about what could have happened. And I'm either Jericho just does what Jericho wants, which fair. I mean, he could clearly have that in his contract. And I don't think Tony's going to fight him on it. Or two, which I think is more realistic, the story came out. They pulled Ricky and conversations were had. And these conversations then led things to be changed, which makes me want Ricky back in GCW. Your thoughts?
That's kind of what I was thinking as well. And I'm hoping that does happen because, it's always nice when you take these little things like this and you have a little, disagreement with people, but then you can kind of turn it into a working relationship or kind of into a storyline where you have Jericho show up and you have, who else? Like you said, but you would think they should be able to let Ricky work GCW again if they're letting other people, other talent back on there. So I don't know. Gotta do something with Ricky.
Yeah, I mean, Ricky's won't be. Ricky's wouldn't just be announced at this point. He would likely re-show up and have another promo about there's two ways to run it. The one way is where he kind of shoots from the hip and shits on AEW, but I think that's a stupider play. The other way is to storyline it and make it sound like the wrestlers in GCW tried to keep Ricky away. Obviously not true, but that would be the smarter storyline to say, because then you're not, I just think it's, you run the risk of walking back into the same trouble if you have Ricky come out and be like, screw AEW. I just think you have the same risk of Tony Khan being like, all right, once again, you're pulled from the show. Whereas if you make it a storyline, like Effie didn't want me here, so he tried to get me kicked off because he fears me, like something like that. It's I think that works better storyline wise personally. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
No, I don't think it. I think it would make more sense to do it that way and keep Ricky on that path if he shows up at GCW again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting theory, thought. I mean, to see what happens with Ricky. He's such a good wrestler. It sucks that he's not on our TV, and it sucks that he's not anywhere. Also, the name Ricky, if you're an Impractical Jokers fan, just always makes me think of the name from their name game, Ricky Tiki, Tiki Bobby Wobbin or something. Do you know that game where they send the office and they call out fake names?
No, no, I was just thinking from there. Like, I feel like Ricky's always, he sometimes finds himself in as almost a collateral damage and some other things going on. Like with him and like when he was supposed to have the Punk stuff going on and then Punk wasn't available. And I just feel like he always has like a little bit of momentum, then something derails it for a second.
The whole stop collateral damage Starks. Well, yeah, that's not, it's not a great nickname, but it's accurate. Was there any other big news of this week?
I don't think, I can't think of
anything. I really only had that, but I don't want to forget it. Do you put that bad juju on me, Ricky Bobby, Big G with the nice Talladega Nights pull. I mean, nothing in AEW, at least. There's obviously stuff out there. You have a Penta maybe going to the WWE. There was some hints of that, which we've talked about over and over again. Good. I mean, I prefer him in AEW because that's just where I prefer him. But at the same point, I'm just glad I can still watch him wrestle. So if it's AEW or, you know, WWE or TNA or wherever, just somewhere that he's on my screen. I have a story.
And it
literally has been developing over days. It's not AEW related directly, but it very well could be. TNA's making a lot of cuts. Any thoughts? Anyone you would like to see? I mean, obviously, there's some big names that aren't coming over, but anyone you're like, hey, they would work.
I mean, obviously, like Josh Alexander, but it's, I mean, I think it makes more sense for him to go to the WWE right now. I'm trying to think who else off the top of my head. But yeah, they really seem to be doing some cost saving measures.
Yeah, I'm going back. So, just going through all. Fightful Select had a bunch of them out there, and they've been out for days, so I don't really feel bad about mentioning them. Yes, Josh Alexander, I think, is WWE bound. I love him, but he, I know it sounds weird to say, like, would it be too many best in the world wrestlers in AEW? But would it be too many best in the world wrestlers in AEW? Like, sure. You know, I'm sorry, the cuts, contracts, it's all the same. I mean, it's not, but essentially they're not renewing. And I know for the wrestlers and for the technical side, that's fair, but Scott, but for the sake of this conversation, they're cutting down their roster. I can use that line and be accurate. Roster was one size, they're cutting it lower. Kushida's is up. He would be interesting.
Yeah, I could see, I mean, I could see him do almost like a split time between
that's where I was thinking, yeah.
AEW and ROH and New Japan or whatever else. No.
But yeah, I think Trent Seven, his is up.
Yeah.
But the other one, I guess, the only one that I find interesting is AJ Francis.
Oh, yeah.
He's had a good run in TNA. Obviously, is formerly in WWE. I don't really see him as an AEW guy.
No.
But
I mean, he was kind of a Triple H guy, wasn't he? So.
Yeah, but wasn't it Triple H that cut him? He falls into a weird, I don't know. He just doesn't seem AEW-ish to me, but then again, maybe sometimes a brand new guy would be fine. And Scott saying he should stay. That we should caveat everything. It's just because a contract is up doesn't mean there's not a new deal eventually signed. Maybe lesser money, lesser dates, a little different. He you know, he might say, hey, I'll work this out and do a bunch of indies or stuff like that. He may become more GCW TNA split. He may try to go to Japan himself. which would be interesting. Someone like that going to Japan. But of course, I think if WWE calls him, he's WWE bound.
Oh yeah.
I think even over AEW, I think that's his big one. But those, you know, obviously Speedball is leaving TNA to go to AEW, but I think that's the extent of it. It's a shame. TNA looks like they're hurting.
Yeah, and I felt like that was kind of their relationship with the WWE, with all the lot of their big names working, you know, crossing over and doing stuff with them. I just thought that it didn't bode well for TNA. I don't feel like they got much from that relationship.
Yeah, like, to me, yeah, I don't. Big G asking if AJ went to AEW, would you put him with Swerve? No.
No.
I'd have them do something together, like a segment or a match, but no, absolutely not. Keep them apart. But not that I hated, what was it? Top Dollar? Was that it?
What was the group's name?
Yeah, that's what that was his name. I'm blanking on the group.
MB Fab and Shantae the Adonis.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't mind the group, but it just, at this point, no. Hit Row. Thank you, Big G.
Oh, yeah. I keep it separate. Oh. Yeah. Actually, it's been so long that I've separated Swerve from Hit Row.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I think it's getting tough to be the third company in wrestling right now. With AEW and WWE putting so much wrestling on. Like, you're going to really have to find your spot, and I think that's tough to do. But that's a much longer conversation that we're going to get into in this part for this show. But that was our news and notes for the week. So we'll do a really quick commercial, which, you know, we're part of the Shining Wizards Network. But before I actually have you guys listen to the commercials for the Shining Wizards Network, I think maybe if you were out there doing your Christmas shopping, you're like, I need to get people in my life something wonderful. Why not get them one of our t-shirts? They're at Pro Wrestling Tees and ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkOrderPod or in the link tree and all of our socials. You go to and get the store and get one of our four shirts, or all four. We have logo on front, just words on front, logo on back, and then pocket square with something on the back.
Nailed it.
I am not a salesman for shirts. Lane Tees, baby. That's it. So go to Pro Wrestling Tees. You can buy one of our shirts or all four. It would really help us out. But if not, please like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff that everyone tells you to do. In the meantime, though, why don't you listen to some wonderful shows on the Shining Wizards Network, which we are a part of? This is not my best salesman thing today, but you're just going to have to live with that. Thank you.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jax. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rogue.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rogue. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Nards plows. I like Nards plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
to Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast with two men. Two men, Duke Banks, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right. And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Banks? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rome podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing.
It's, you got a slight one in there?
If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit, slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
And we are back. So tonight was AEW's Holiday Bash, apparently live from D.C. I already forget the name of the arena, even though I've been there and we talked about it.
The Entertainment and Sports Arena.
That's why I keep forgetting it. It is very generic. What'd you think of the show? I guess let me start off that.
It was okay. It wasn't anything out of this world. There were a couple of good matches, but a lot of talking. So I would have probably reordered the list of the run of how they the matches on the card. I think you could have opened the show with the six-man tag, and I might have closed the show with Ospreay Darby.
Yeah, that I think that I probably would have done the same thing.
And then have Clark come in and just, you know, maybe beat down Darby or something at the end, or I don't know.
I don't even know if I would have opened the show with the six-man. I just wouldn't have put it. I probably just would have flipped it with Darby and Ospreay.
Yeah, I thought maybe there'd be some kind of bigger thing happening or bigger story at the end, and it never came. So,
yeah, that's kind of where I was. I was like, all right, what's about to go down, and then nothing.
A very 3.5 out of 5 for me.
I don't know if it's close to a 4, but I get it. I will say we started out with an interview, which we don't usually like to do, but it was Renee Paquette with Orange Cassidy and Jay White. Eventually Hangman came in yelling, and they're all talking about what's going on. And Jay White stops Orange Cassidy from talking, saying like, he gave us the rah-rah speech. Now it's my turn to talk. And basically saying like, I only care about the world championship, but I know that means I have to survive. So I have to trust these guys. And then Hangman basically walked in and said, leave Mox's mine. And was his typical jerk self. While I typically like the show to start with wrestling, this wasn't an in-ring interview, so I actually kind of felt it unique and different, and I liked it. Did you feel any differently about it?
I didn't mind it, I suppose. I don't like the fact that we had 2 talking segments back-to-back with this one and then another one right after it. That's my main thing.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't really talking, though. Those were much more...
those are the promos you get from, like, when you open Collision, usually.
Yeah. So I didn't view that as much talking as it was just a quick promo, but I get what you were saying. I just liked that it wasn't in the ring.
Yeah, and I liked Jay White. I liked Jay White. I thought he was entertaining during this opening part. Kind of bring a little bit of a comedic side where Orange was a little serious and Hangman was deranged and fixated on one person again. But I like Jay White, just, you know, the last closing word he had was like, well, at least you wore your black coat, your black jacket, so we all match.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I mean, like I said, our Hangman might have some issues he needs to work through. I'm not sure what they are, but he may have some anger, maybe. We got to our first match, and it was Anna Jay versus Mercedes Moné for the AEW TBS Championship. I actually really enjoyed this match. I thought it was pretty hard hitting, a lot of back and forth. It's very clear that Anna's time in, however short it actually was, but her time in Japan has done her a lot of good. Her in-ring work has improved. She was always improving, but I feel like those extra reps she got in Japan just was exponential in how much she's improved. At one point, Anna Jay had the Queen Slayer in, but Mercedes bit her, which I thought was an excellent heel move. You don't see that a lot, and I thought that was really neat. You know, a nice way to escape a pin. It's cheating, but it's like, I get it. Mercedes did eventually win with the Money Maker. So she retained her championship. But again, I thought this was extremely solid, very fun, very good. Anna Jay has looked really good since she came back from Japan, and I never thought she'd win, but I'm glad she put up a good showing. Would you bite someone's arm if they were trying to tap you out? And what'd you think of the match?
100% I would. I mean, why wouldn't you? If they're going to put their arm right there, it's fair game, you know? Much like we've talked about, the lockjaw of whoever the Britt Baker's move. Would you bite her fingers if you could?
You can't. She applies it to the nerve, and then she doesn't allow you to bite. Why does no one understand that?
Either way, yes. I would bite someone's arm if they were trying to choke me out. But the match between Anna Jay and Mercedes, I thought they would have really good chemistry in the ring. Like you said, Anna Jay looked great. She had that series of, you know, going corner to corner to corner with all of her spinning heel kicks, which I thought was really nice. The crowd seemed to be really into it with both of them, and I think that kind of helped with the smaller venue like this, really made it amplified more. And then I guess some other spots that I think I liked was really the Mercedes Sunset Bomb, and then set up her knees to Anna Jay and turnbuckle there before she got her win. But I just really thought they worked well together. And you know, sometimes Mercedes has pairings where and don't quite mesh, but this one seems to work really well.
Yeah, the crowd was excellent tonight. I'm glad you pointed that out. They were great all night. Like, and it really does help a match like this. You know, when you hear the reactions from moves and the way it's all laying out. So yeah, I'm very much with you on that. I thought the crowd was right there, and there was competing Mercedes and Anna Jay chants, which I always find fun. So no, this was solid. We then go to an FTR video that they sent from home. Kate was here. She would love the way I say home. Where they said they're not clear. They don't understand why the Death Riders attacked them. Like, they believe in a lot of what the Death Riders stand for. They just stopped the Death Riders from poisoning someone. Like, pretty common sense, which I loved. It was like, we stopped you from committing murder. Why are you... But they said they are not clear to return until after the new year or January 1st. But on January 1st, they will be clear, but they're not going to be alone, which I think everyone has interpreted to mean Adam Copeland's back.
The Asheville shows?
I think so, yeah.
Right, that makes sense.
Are the Death Riders wrong for being mad that they stopped, that the FTR stopped them from murder? And do you think it's Copeland?
I mean, if I'm the Death Rider, I'd probably be upset if someone tried to get into my business, right? But maybe it's one of the things they'll look back on a year from now and be like, you know what, thank you for keeping us out of prison. And Copeland, I didn't think about Copeland, but that's a good shout. I think that makes sense. And I don't know what adding more people to this who are going to be upset at the Death Riders, like, why would you want to make more enemies? But I don't know. The whole Death Riders thing, I'm out, kind of lost that with it already. So, but if you want to keep building onto the story, then I guess add more names to it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, my biggest problem with this whole thing, and this is kind of an okay with it because it does seem to be an extension of it, is I just want the Death Riders story to encompass more of AEW. And At first they did, and then they really consolidated. And I'm using my hands to explain this. And now they seem to be expanding slowly. See, I'm using my hand. I caught myself using my hand, and then I was like, well, I just got to lean into it. So if they do break back out into more of the roster, I'll be happier, because that's the only way this story works. You know, as if they're not just so self-contained. That's the whole point of the Death Riders is that we're taking AEW down. It's like, yeah, but you're taking down one guy at a time. And you're not even saying that's what you're doing, because the guys keep coming back. Like, hi, Jesse. If you were saying, like, we're taking down one guy at a time, and then that guy disappeared for months on end, I'd be like, all right, here's the story. They wanted Orange. Orange is gone. They wanted Switchblade. Switchblade is gone. They wanted Darby. Darby's gone. And it's like, you know, you're in 4 months, you're like, we're missing five or six guys, because they've taken them down one at a time. And then AEW has to team up to remove them. But that's not what they were. Hi, Slonamite. It's not what they were doing. And I don't know. I want it to be more all-encompassing, but that's just me. This is my world. We then get MJF to the ring. He does his insulting the local sports team. He does a Christmas Hanukkah thing, but then he gets, well, does a Christmas thing, and then he goes into his Hanukkah thing, where he says that it's all about feeling philanthropic, which he doesn't think people know what it means, which really got me laughing. I actually really enjoy this. He starts playing sad music, and he puts Adam Cole up on the screen. And obviously it's a cropped picture of Adam Cole, which he's much skinnier than he actually is. And not much more yellow than he's appeared recently, but slightly more yellow, like more jaundice. And he's just saying, for pennies, you know, you could support this man and all that. And then Adam Cole comes on, and there's some stipulation, but I didn't actually understand what the stipulation was. He said he talked to Tony. And I guess that means Tony's allowing the Kingdom at ringside. I guess that's what he's saying, but I didn't really. But the end of it was cool, where he says, oh yeah, and am I kicking your ass yet? And then he turns around and he's in the ring beating the crap out of MJF. So I appreciated that. What did you think of this MJF segment?
MJF's part is pretty typical, I think. You know, like you said, insert some kind of disparaging remark against local city, local sports team, play up your you know, being Hanukkah during Christmas time, during Christmas, so you have that to play off of. And then I liked his fake tears, a little, like, that was fun, I guess. Adam Cole kind of went up to the ship of being able to be on the screen, and then, you know, do the whole surprise attack was kind of the kind of goes back to his heelish behavior that he still had to him, trying to fight the devil with the devil. But overall, like, if you have the stipulation of the Kingdom being out there, then you're really just screwing yourself over. Like, you're really telegraphing this.
Yeah. I don't know. Something, the stipulation thing didn't land for me.
No, I heard it, so I don't know, but the Kingdom, I mean, I'm just waiting for the Kingdom to screw him in the match, and that's going to happen.
He didn't actually say anything. He said, stipulation, if you go to grab the ring, it's ensured you won't, because these two guys are there. So did Tony approve them being there? Like, why were they banned to begin with? This isn't a Continental Classic match. Like, I was so confused. This was the talking portion of the show. You then have Jamie Hayter cut a promo on Julia Hart. I don't think anything special was said here. I don't know if you disagree. And not that it was bad, just nothing.
No, I'm just glad they got Julia Hart back.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that. We get a Kenny Omega package. So clearly, I mean, we all know he's wrestling in New Japan soon. So clearly the anticipation is New Japan to AEW. So that'll be fun to have him back. And then we go into our next match. We have Hook and the wrestler Katsuyori Shibata versus the Patriarchy. Of Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. I just saw you put Melvin's in the chat and that made me laugh. I like all four guys in this match. I think it was a fairly solid wrestling match. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Christian Cage's shtick. I enjoy the patriarchy. I actually liked, was it last week's, I think last week or the week before when Hook broke the glass to get to Christian Cage. I enjoyed that. For whatever reason, this just didn't hit with me. The patriarchy wins by pinfall because of a Mother Wayne distraction. It just, for whatever reason, I think Shibata, I love Shibata. Actually, you know, I've come to love Shibata. It wasn't someone in my past or anything like that, but I just kind of, when your nickname is a wrestler, you catch my attention, and he's just so, he just doesn't fit in this. And I get, like, they kind of make Hook just everyone's random friend. And part of me loves that the AEW does just have these random face team-ups where you're like, yeah, we're all friends, so. But part of me is like, what are we doing? What'd you think?
Yeah, Hook's been kind of the one-man conglomeration before the conglomeration was a thing. People would just kind of pair with him out of nowhere, whether it be, you know, Shibata or Hook or Samoa Joe or, you know, whomever. The match itself was okay. I wrote in my notes that it felt like this had been going on for years. I don't know why. It just feels like we've seen it before. And it's like, it was a classic, you know, dirty finish of a match, you know, where someone distracts someone and they get a quick win. And, you know, that's just been what the patriarchy does. And I don't know, I need to do something different with them. But I will say Nick Wayne had looked like he's been getting bigger now. He seemed like he was, like, really filled out more from the last couple of years when he signed. So he definitely, I feel like he's pretty soon, I think he's about ready to break out here pretty soon from the patriarchy and do his own thing, because otherwise, we get into this vortex, and we know what vortexes are like.
Yeah, they form into trees somehow. I'm not sure how that works, but the science checks out, but I'm not sure why. It just does. A vortex becomes a tree, becomes a New Yorker. It's just the progression. Nick Wayne does look like he's putting only, which he had to. It's very tough to remain at that size. Like, you look at Ricochet, didn't necessarily put on weight, but he, over the course of his career, got a little more cut, a little more muscly. Ospreay very clearly put on weight, but in a, you know, good weight, not bad weight. It enables you to take a different class of opponent and have it not look so jarring. Just be like, wow, that guy's really skinny. Now, Nick Wayne's also just young, and as you get older, your body fills out, both in good ways and bad ways. So, you know, you're right. He does look like he's doing that, but hopefully the good ways, not the bad ways. He doesn't go my route. He goes better routes. We do get a New York City theme package for Jericho, and then we get a pretty typical Bandido package in terms of, like, it's just his highlight reels. Either I'm very excited for Bandido, but I missed the cheesy Western package. And the Jericho one actually did make me laugh.
The Jericho was fun. I mean, it was something different than his usual, you know, learning tree promo stuff. And the Bandido stuff, I really like the fact that they're putting so much effort into kind of, I don't know if reintroducing is the right word, but, like, they just seem to, like, really be putting more energy behind him in the second coming back off injury, which I like. And I think it would give him a really good fast start when he comes back in the ring.
Yeah. They need, which I'm glad they. I don't want to see him have to go through the rebuilding of, like, who are you type thing. Like, we know who he is. He's awesome. He's got a cool mask. And he can do some crazy shit. We then have a quick Mariah May thing. I'm not really that. I mean, it was fine. I don't think there's anything special to it.
She's having her matchup with Thunder Rosa.
Thunder.
Thunder's not going to win.
Then we have Ricochet going to the ring. And Tony starts to say, hey, good job in the Continental Classic. You've kind of been a little different. Ricochet's in a suit, like, but, you know, whatever. And then the Hurt Syndicate comes out. I'm just going through some of my head. Big G got where I was going. Ricochet comes out. Then the Hurt Syndicate comes out. Ricochet kind of like, hey, did you see how I beat up Commander? You see what I'm doing? And then Bobby Lashley grabs Ricochet by like the chin and like holds it back. And it's like really punks him out. And then they tear up the MVP's card that they gave him, which why would you tear it up? You can reuse the card.
They probably have time.
Just put it in your pocket. And they say they don't like kiss ass. So if they want to show who, if he wants to get their whatever, that he's got to hurt someone, then they kick him out of the ring and he kind of retreats pretty cowardly. And then MVP goes to the ring because he's going to do commentary for Shelton Benjamin's C2 match. What did you think of the Ricochet segment?
They really flipped his character on a dime, I felt like, with him going from, you know, Ricochet to now this sniveling little like heel character where he's really cocky. And I don't know why he, all of a sudden he was trying to prove himself for the Hurt Syndicate out of nowhere. I felt like, you know, he has some interactions with them, but he never really cared for their approval. Now all of a sudden he does. I mean, I think they should have been giving me a little bit more reason of why he wanted to go back to like try to get in with him again.
Yeah, I think either he should have had more of an extended losing streak,
mm-hmm.
where you could see like he thought getting in with them was the only way to not lose, or have him from the beginning kind of like he did take the card. But have him be a bit more sniveling around them from the beginning. Like, yeah. He could have been cool the other with everyone else, but every time they walked around, if he had just been a little more like, oh, hey, guys, it might have worked better.
Jericho, by the way, they're very close to Chris Jericho. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. You're right. It did kind of come out of nowhere because he didn't really have that much of a losing streak. So you can't be like, well, this is just him. He went there to rebuild himself and he was kind of against them. And then suddenly he's like, I'm not, I'm with them. I'm with the boys. I'm with you. Kind of came out of nowhere, but we'll see. I did. But that being said,
Sorry, go ahead.
I kind of like him like this.
It's fun. I don't love the fact that they punched him out and kind of little brothered him so fast. I feel like just credits you and makes you look really weak.
Yeah, you're right. They did little brother him quickly. You know what? I'm going to skip. We're going to come back to the match in a second, but let's just skip to Ricochet's next segment where he's being interviewed. And he starts to, by Renee, and he starts to get into a little bit of the Hurt Syndicate stuff, but then you see he kind of like fades off it quickly and he makes that annoying noise he makes. But then Swerve is there.
You need the noise?
No, I cannot, and I'm not even gonna try.
Is it like that?
Yeah, but I can't get my voice up that high, so I'm not even gonna do it. But then he runs into Swerve, who calls him a turd, and then calls him his real name and basically says he's always been this like pathetic guy. And it was just interesting because they quickly turn the Hurt Syndicate stuff into a Ricochet Swerve thing, which I think is brilliant because Swerve's not really, you don't have to put Swerve directly back into the Hurt Syndicate storyline, but this is a nice tangential thing that could get Ricochet into the Hurt Syndicate. Any thoughts on this?
Tangential. Wow. Big word today.
I'm a big man.
Big words. No, you're right. I didn't think about the whole connection of, I already forgot the connection of the Hurt Syndicate and and Swerve. That's how they were kind of done. But if you want to tie Ricochet back in with the Hurt Syndicate, that makes sense. I didn't quite understand Ricochet's weird brag of like, watch me win the C2, something you didn't do. I'm like, man, he won the world championship already. Like, why are you trying to say, like, because he didn't win the Continental Classic, he's less than you? I just thought it was a weird thing to try to flex on.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I didn't win that, but I've held the belt that everyone wants.
But yes, I like the idea of having that kind of personal feud between those two, like, you know, dropping first names and talking about their history of how long they knew each other.
And I did like Ricochet's response, like, oh, my real name, man. Like, I appreciate that. Like, I like that they don't try to hide that it, like, that is his real name, and it's not like this big, like, oh my God, he's breaking the fourth wall. It's more, I'm digging at you as an actual person. Like, I'm going below. So I just appreciate that. But back to the match, which was Shelton Benjamin versus the Beast Mortos, who does not have a win in the Continental Classic as of yet. And that would continue. This was more, I mean, Mortos had his moments in this match, but I thought this was solidly more Benjamin than I expected. I thought this would be a lot more back and forth. Benjamin wins with the Exploder Power Slam. And then after the match, they beat the hell out of well, they beat Mortos, and then Shelton hits him with a German suplex, which wasn't as impressive looking as it, I think they were hoping it would be. But and that's not a knock. It just, after what you did to him. I do like the commentary pointing out that, oh, they're sure they're this brave when they know LFI isn't around. We don't know where they are, but they weren't there. What did you think of this match? Like I said, that I thought was much more Shelton Benjamin heavy than I expected.
Oh, I agree. I initially thought, oh, this is gonna be a nice pairing between the two of them. So they're both, you know, they're both kind of big guys, but they're both very agile. So I thought it'd be a fun match back and forth. But yeah, it was a lot of Shelton, and I get you're trying to make Shelton look strong, but this Continental Classic has seemed to really hamper Mortos as far as his the momentum he had coming into it. I mean, him being winless so far. Him taking all these losses, I just feel like he kind of getting lost in the shuffle already. When I thought that maybe he was, you know, his trajectory going upward, but yeah, between him and Commander, I mean, those are the guys who are still winless in the C2, and they don't have any more matches left to get a win, really, other than one more match, I think, for Mortos, but I thought Shelton looked really good. They're holding that championship belt later on after the meetdown when Garcia came in.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. We'll get to the Garcia thing in a second. I will say, I understand Commander not winning. He was a fill-in. He was more toast. I would have wanted more from. Afterwards, you have Garcia walk out, and he's like, I'm not dumb. I see that there's three of you and one of me, but I'm going to come down there anyway. And then Mark Briscoe comes down and they still get the crap kicked out of them. And I had such an exciting moment of like, oh, Daniel Garcia is being smart. They outnumber me. I'm not going to go down there to get my ass kicked. And then he instantly was like, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm like, why are you so dumb?
Because you're a pure baby face. I'm gonna come to the ring without a weapon and be outnumbered. But
why?
Oh no, I have Mark Briscoe here, so that helps the odds.
I mean, yeah, we're still 3-2, but sure. And one of those guys has a cane, which he uses as a weapon. This evens up. I'm just like,
I even use the championship belt as a weapon.
I just hate dumb baby faces. I really do. It's one of those things that drives me nuts. Like, you set. They have three, you had one, and then you had two. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, Garcia, you've been in fashion. You know how this works.
Yeah, I
don't know.
All right, we do have a Tony Storm interviewed by RJ City segment in which RJ's trying to get Tony to be like, what is going on? But Tony keeps treating it like she's brand new. And I really appreciated her acting in this. I thought it was brilliant. And then at one point, he's like, what about timeless Tony Storm? She's like, no, it's Tony time. It's Tony's time. What do you think of this very clever segment?
I'm really liking this. I feel like it's almost like timeless Tony Storm portraying a caricature role of Tony Storm. And because you still see, it's like, it's not the authentic Tony Storm, but it's like someone playing that role still. And it's just really fun for her to act like it's her. She has an amnesia and she's going back like 3 years in her head. And everything's so new and you know, she's naive to things and starstruck. And with RJ trying to get her to like almost snap out of this thing that she's in by trying to do some word association, I'm really interested to see where this goes and how she kind of snaps out of whatever she's in.
I do agree with your point that she is acting like Tony Storm. She is not like, it's not authentic appearing. It's very much an act, which I like. Then we have the match that should have been the main event. Darby Allin versus Will Ospreay in a C2 match. Jesus Christ. These two crushed it. It was awesome. You had Darby do a coffin drop on and land on the apron. You then had Ospreay do a Styles Clash off the apron to the ring, to the floor, which I'm going to say, I appreciate how long he took to set that up. And you could even tell he looked back at one point to make sure Darby's head was in the right position. Very well played out. I appreciate that. The shocking thing is that Darby won with the coffin drop. What an upset. What do you think of this wild match and the upset?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the obvious of Ospreay going back to his wavy hair again.
No, he loves that hair.
At least he wasn't the straight hair anymore, the 90s hair. So it was a hell of a match. It was by far my most favorite thing on the show. And I just loved how fast they worked together on some of the speed exchanges where they would go and counter each other. Darby's coffin drop on the edge of the apron. Every time he does one of those and misses, and I will never not cringe at that because that looks awful to take. But yeah, I was so surprised when he took the hidden blade and then countered the Stormbreaker into the Code Red. And that was another near fall that he had. And then to take all the punishment he had and still end up with a win was quite surprising. And even though I don't understand why he's in the C2, if he's supposed to be focusing on Moxley. So like, I don't get what winning the C2 is going to do against the Death Riders.
Why is your TNT champion in the C2? I don't necessarily understand all this, but it still was a hell of a match.
Yeah, I mean, for the first time between those two, yeah, I can watch it a couple more times.
Yeah, that was very good. And then we come to our main event. You have Hangman Adam Page, Switchblade Jay White, and Orange Cassidy versus the Death Riders, consisting of Moxley, Pac, and Yuta. This was a weird match. Page walked out at one point. You had a couple points where you thought maybe the good guys were going to win, but they just couldn't get it together. Page does eventually come back, but they had lost by schoolboy pinup from Moxley on Cassidy because they were distracted doing something else. And then afterwards, you have the three good guys arguing in the ring, and then the Death Riders come back to beat them up, but then they end up getting beat up by the three good guys. I'm stalling with my words here because it was, to be clear, kind of a clusterfuck. What's your thoughts on this clusterfuck?
It was typical. It was your typical, throw the guys who are all going to be wrestling against each other for the championship, throw them all on team, can they coexist? And guess what? They didn't coexist. United we stand, divide we fall. And that's been the Death Rider story of, we're trying to change AEW, and all these people who are going to try to stop us, they can't get along and get out of their own way to stop us. And it was what it was. You knew what was going to happen. And I was hoping, like we said earlier in the show, I was hoping that something else would happen with this angle to get this a little bit more heated. But it just felt like, another Death Riders match where they win and you have all, Team AEW pointing fingers and not getting along.
Yeah.
And I think Moxley's going to retain again because the three of them are going to cost each other the match. So,
yeah, they're not going to get along. And I'm part of my whatever on this, and I'm letting my feeling shows. I don't like these style matches. They don't make sense to me. Like, why would Tony be like, let's put these three guys who don't actually like each other together to face these guys who are running rampant over AEW? It's like, that's never gonna work. Why are you doing it? And it didn't work. I didn't get, like I said, this was one of two things tonight that just didn't click for me. And I like everyone in this, and I still was like, I do appreciate that at one point the anti-Wheeler chants were getting over very big, and I thought that was very funny.
I just want this Death Rider story to like progress. I feel like we're kind of in the same stalled out spot for a hot minute now, and maybe after World's End, I can kind of close the chapter of their feuding with these three guys. And maybe you move into, like we talked about with FTR, and maybe it's Copeland, or kind of the next wave of guys they can feed with. But I just need them to like do something.
Yeah,
what they set out to do in their mission statement. I don't, like you said, it hasn't really come to fruition. So they're not taking out guys. They're not taking over TV stations. They're not. They're just doing BCC stuff.
What they do. Yeah.
But with a different name.
Yeah, I don't know. So that was our December 18th episode of Dynamite. I know this is a quick show. You've learned by now when Ryan hosts, it's a quick show. Kate has much more detailed stuff than I do. For whatever reason, it's not how I do it. But I think I spice things up with my hosting because it's a change of pace.
You didn't have the fun scale, though. You didn't have the fun level. Oh, that's how lack of fun you had tonight.
I actually really enjoyed the show, but I think those two matches just would have been just a healthy dose of fun. And I just didn't feel appropriate tonight. That's what happens.
Yeah, Darby Ospreay was my favorite match. And then,
oh God. Yeah.
Then maybe Mercedes and Jay might have been too.
Yep. That's my order as well. Those two matches alone were awesome. Those two matches were, oh my God, I may have just peed a little. Fun.
So if you missed it, go back and watch those.
Yeah. So, and Jesse's saying switching the order definitely would have helped. You should have had the tag match before Ospreay and Darby, and then Ospreay and Darby could have ended the show, and it would have ended on a high because that match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But neither here nor there. So before we close out, I do have to address that next Wednesday is Christmas, as far as I know. Correct? Am I correct on that?
That's what happened, yeah. 7 days from the 18th, yeah.
Okay. Just the clips and makes it up as he goes. No, Ryan just doesn't take very good notes and has the memory of a goldfish when he watches a match, but he remembers the stories. I've always said, I remember the stories of a match. I remember like Mortos versus Benjamin. The story was Benjamin. Like, it was him going out and dominating Mortos after they had just put Ricochet to the side. Like, that's the story. Like, that's how I view it. Like, oh, you push Ricochet to the side, and now Benjamin came out and he was like, look how good I am. Kate's like, and then they did a Hurricane Rana into a 360, into a figure four, but I didn't like. Yeah, I'm going to insult her when she's not here because she'll never listen, so she won't know. Yes. But yes, next Wednesday is Christmas, which clearly means we will not be having an episode on Wednesday.
So go back and listen to some old ones.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, we're not having an episode on Wednesday. I have family stuff. I'm assuming everyone else does as well. I have no idea.
I would probably say not New Year's Day either, maybe.
Yeah, we're good. We'll try to do something in that time, so maybe we'll figure something out. But just keep your eyes and ears open. I'll post it online what we're planning to do. We just got to figure it out. It's just a very confusing, you know, whatever. And then apparently Jesse's kids taught about Jesus today, and they're not happy about it. Well, put the Christ in Christmas, Jesse. Sorry, you set me up for that. I gotta take it. Like, you know,
I thought we were a non-denominational podcast.
We are, but. When you set me up for that, you know, that's like when you see at least one of them at this time in of the year. One of those signs. There is a Dynamite next week. It's likely pre-recorded, probably not, whatever. Probably good, but just not the same. But yeah, we're not just not in public school, not in kindergarten. Sorry, Jesse, can't help you there. But yeah, obviously all of us have family stuff, so we'll figure something out, because I don't want to go 2 weeks without a show. So we'll figure something out. There's also World's End in the middle there. CVP.
College football playoff.
I don't care. Who do you have, Joe? You're a college football guy.
Oregon. And I can't remember who's on the bottom half of that in the bracket. Because Notre Dame would probably be my dark horse. Just because I feel like they have a pretty easy way to get a pretty easy path. That's all I got. I don't know. I think it's Oregon's to lose.
Let me see. Right, this is just one side of the bracket. I want both sides of the bracket. I'm only getting one side of the bracket.
I mean, look, there should be.
If we're still only getting one side of the bracket. Why am I not getting both sides of the bracket? I don't know. This is just the way the bracket is. Okay, it's just weird that they did it this way. So let me, just because we're doing a little extra time tonight. So I have Texas beating Clemson. And then they'll beat Arizona State. I have Ohio State being Tennessee. And then they'll lose to Oregon. I'm with you on there. And then I have Penn State beating Boise. And then Penn State beating SMU and then beating Boise. And then I have Notre Dame beating Indiana. Ooh, I'm going to go Notre Dame beating Georgia just for the hell of it. I have Oregon beating Texas. So they're in the championship. Notre Dame versus Penn State was a tough one. I'm going to go Notre Dame because Penn State already got beat bad by Oregon, if I'm recalling correctly. So then you have Notre Dame versus Oregon. You have Oregon. There you go. I just did it.
Okay. Looking at the bracket, yeah. I have Tennessee beating Ohio State. I think Ohio State's done. I think Ryan Day's done. Oregon wins that match, comes out of that top part. I think Texas get past Clemson. I think Texas will get past Arizona State, even though Arizona State's hot. I think having a long enough layoff will hurt them. Either way, I have Oregon coming from that side. Notre Dame beats Indiana. Notre Dame, Georgia might be tough. I don't know about that one yet. I'm going to pick SMU over Penn State. Sorry. Sorry.
Why are you doing that?
I like an underdog.
Penn State's going to roll through them.
Yeah, it'll hurt them having to go from Dallas-Fort Worth to Happy Valley in the winter and in the cold.
Yeah.
But James Franklin chokes a lot against your teams. So that's why I
will say this. Even though Penn State did recently lose to Oregon, if I'm correct, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
I think they did it. But even though I still think this is anyone's game. This is a year that if you're one of these teams, it's like, it could be any of us.
Yeah. I mean, what's the problem if Oregon, Georgia, or Texas, Georgia?
I'm with you. I think it's Oregon, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm not a college football expert by any means. I said at the beginning, it's not really my thing, but I watch enough sports stuff to know that, like, there's no team this year. There's no, like, they're rolling through everyone.
Yeah, Oregon's the closest one, and they've had some close games. So
yeah. All right. So we will get in touch with everyone about what's going on next week. We'll put it on our socials, whether we're here or not. Otherwise, Joe, when you are not here, where are you to be found?
Well, you can find me on socials at _AsianJoe, where you can also look at my story review blog. I haven't done one in a while, but you can still read it. And a link to that is in my bio.
Okay. Right. We got Scott cheering for Oregon versus Georgia.
Okay.
And you have Big G rooting for Penn State and hoping Ohio State loses. And Jesse making a joke about me touching everyone. Got it.
Where are you?
Why not?
Do you have a doll? Where is Ryan touching us all at?
Socials. When I'm not here, you can find me on all our socials at MarkOrderPod. You can also follow my blog, history blog, hereforhistory.com, at _hereforhistory on Twitter, hereforhistory on Blue Sky. I will have a new one coming out probably before the new year, hopefully. And I should have a YouTube coming out at the same time. I have some days off from work, which will actually allow me to get some stuff done. So there we go. With that, you'll see me quickly find our outro overlay, and I'll put that up, and then I'll play our show outro.
The Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.